My sisters and brothers, may the Lord give you peace. Good morning. We celebrate today the feast of the baptism of the Lord, and with that we sort of bring to a close all of the Christmas season. So you see, everything is gone, yes? The kings went home, the shepherds went back to their fields, Mary and Joseph are in Egypt, and we're off and running here. Jesus aged 30 years just in those 2 weeks. So that's not bad, yes? We've had days like that, haven't we? All right, so, but we listen to this, and the church invites us, as we reflect upon this feast of the baptism of the Lord, to consider our own baptism, to consider how different it was and is from the experience of Jesus' baptism, and to open ourselves up yet again to enter more deeply into living our baptism. And so we come then and we begin listening to the text from the book of the prophet, and Isaiah begins by talking about, indeed, the Lord God is going to make the plains straight, the roads level, everything smooth, so that people with a journey to make can make the journey. It is God who accomplishes this. And so we begin to think about this for ourselves and say, indeed, it is the Lord God who removes every stumbling block. Everything that gets in the way of our knowing God is removed by the experience of God. Nothing can separate us from this way of being in God, from the journey, from the path, from God's revelation and God's goodness. God as God is the one who clears the way. Now, most of us spend a good deal of our life creating those stumbling blocks, yes? And perhaps we live in a space and in a world where we're told that God can't do something, yes? All those right-wing people saying God could never accept this and God could never accept that. How does that make sense to you? God could never. Is this the God that we know? So God has removed every stumbling block. There is no one, no matter what their situation in life, who is separated from the experience of the graciousness of God. Can we just imagine the depth of that experience? No one is separated for any reason. The church cannot create the stumbling block. I just said that out loud. We don't create the stumbling block. God removes everything that keeps us from knowing being in God. And the text then goes on to be able to talk about, go up to a high mountain, announce for yourself, our God is here. When's the last time you did that? But the invitation for us is to live the reality that indeed God is here. God is with us. The knowledge and the goodness of God is not some distant thing, not something to come in the future. It's not like Never Never Land. It is God is with us now. But the text will continue on to say, here comes your God with power, with might. And for a lot of our experience of church and the world is this being rooted in power and might. And so it's conquering someone, yes? But what's the next sentence? Like a shepherd, he gathers the lamb, holding the lamb to his bosom, leading the ewes with care. This is the power. It is not a lightning bolt from heaven. It is the power of compassion. It is the power of goodness. It is the power of the one who takes to himself the broken lamb. The power of the one who takes to himself the frightened ewe and leads into pasture, leads into life, into freedom, into goodness. Perhaps we have mistaken what power is really about. And the strength, the power of God is in God's goodness, in God's compassion, in God's generosity, in God's love. And thus we go back a step and are able to say, yes, go up to the high mountain and make this announcement. Our God is here. Not because of lightning and thunder, not because of miraculous events, unless, of course, you consider the world in which we live in, it would be a miraculous event to experience compassion, to experience love, tenderness, to experience the one who gathers to himself the one that is broken. We go from that to the letter to Titus. And in this letter to Titus, there are a couple of things. One is, having entered into this experience of Christ, we are eager to do the good. All of our life, all of our energy, all of our desire is in our eagerness to do the good. Jesus' very way of being was the freedom to do good. Very way of being was the freedom to touch the leper, the freedom to give sight to the blind, the freedom to touch, to be touched by the woman with the hemorrhage. Both the leper and the woman, the blood, would put him outside. He had the remarkable freedom to do good. If he had the freedom to do good, and we live in him and have been baptized into him, is there a limit to our freedom to do good? And so our eagerness to do the good is an eagerness to open up new pathways, new ways of understanding, new ways of being, such that nothing blocks the experience of God for us or for others, such that we are able to announce our God is here, such that we're able to distinguish between power that is used to oppress and the power of compassion, the power of restoration, of goodness. We come to the gospel text and we hear the gospel according to, are you sure? Hear the gospel according to Luke. And in this Lucan text, we've heard this baptism image before. So we begin with this image of John being asked, are you the one? And he says, no, not me. But the one who is coming after me will baptize you with, John baptized with water. The one who comes will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Have you been baptized with Holy Spirit? Really? Where's the fire? Power, energy, dynamism. He will baptize you with God's own energy, with God's own eagerness to do the good, with God's own desire, with the very passion and fire of God. You have been baptized. So much of our conversation around our baptism has to do with original sin, and really, that's terribly unimportant. It is far more important to realize that being baptized into Christ Jesus is being baptized with Holy Spirit and fire, burning with love. The dynamism of God empowers us to do the good. But as we continue on, Jesus goes into the waters with John and the crowd, yes? Now, who was going out to John to be baptized? Sinners. Did the Pharisees go in the water? Scribes? Sadducees? No, 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 they didn't get wet. It was the sinners who went into the water. Now, think about this for a moment. Jesus goes into the water that has been muddied, polluted, soiled by the sinfulness of everyone else who has been in that water, and takes to himself, just as if we got into a polluted body of water, takes to himself everything that's in the water. All of the brokenness, all of the fragility of what it is to be a human person, the disappointment that is so much a part of life, the struggle, the failure, the unfulfilled desire, takes to himself the fragility, the brokenness, the weakness of what it is to be a human person. takes to himself the experience of all of those who have been pushed out and told, you are a sinner, you cannot belong. It is absorbed into his very being. And he comes up out of the water. And Luke, quite unlike Matthew and Mark, does not have the heavens open in that baptismal moment, but rather it is later in prayer that the heavens open, the Spirit descends, and the voice is heard to say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, who, like the shepherd, took to himself the dirty, broken lamb. This is my beloved, who has taken to himself every human struggle, who has taken to himself every fragility, every moment of loss, every fear, and absorbed this into his body. This is the fulfillment of what we hear in Isaiah. I will take the broken lamb and hold it to my bosom. I will lead the ewes with care. Those who are about to give birth, I will lead to a place of refreshment and life. So it is not this sort of pristine image, but rather this image of one who will ultimately go to the cross, still clutching to his very being every human failure, even the failure to recognize God with us, and will raise up from the darkness of the muddy water, from the darkness of death, will raise up into light every human experience, setting free, enabling us to know for ourselves the radiance of God, to know not simply as something outside of ourselves, but something that is at the very core of who we are. We would radiate the fire of God. And so we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, not simply to sort of mark an interesting experience, but to be able to talk about what does it mean for the beloved of God to be soiled by, to take to himself everything that besets us. And not only take it to himself in the water, but to bring it to that prayer, to bring it to life, that he would set about eager to do good, healing, nurturing, sustaining, feeding, speaking words of compassion and hope beyond death. We have been raised with him. If we have entered into the waters with him, Paul will tell us we have been raised with him. Not someday, today.